know it, interrupting the current neo-euchronial climate change, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTWRLM502. I hope a few of you figured out last week. I missed the RLM part. Again, we're still in that neo-euchrona. It's not going away, folks. All this stuff is not going away. I'm hoping you're listening to what I'm saying, how you start to put your mind squared up about what's coming at us, whether you're acting now or not. They're coming at us in a way that I don't... Reason, you're dealing with the rationality. So reason doesn't work. You have to go to an objective basis to proceed. And you have to stay there, stay on that narrow path. Remember, where redneck Dennis doesn't turn left, I don't use brakes, because this is the most jam-packed minute in radio for two solid, continuous hours. Brake free. Remember, being free is not a spectator sport. So get you behind the woodshed. What is that? It means learning how to address these criminals in the world. And they're insane as well. That's why I keep saying your opinion means nothing against this. You need to find the objective basis. And people confuse that with me embracing the system. I don't. But that thing is what that system, the rules of that system is what they use. So should you. Because if you look carefully, everything we think about by relative to rights is in there. You just have to identify. They made it very more difficult to see, but I've told you, those are called savings clauses, and they may only be five words of protection. We're not prohibited. It's one of them. You find that one, and you know you're behind that, and you just got to go find out how you're behind that, and that's where you start. They can't move if they're prohibited. And that's where all your rights are. And so I talk to that, whether anybody understands that, and I don't know that people appreciate it. I know people think they know. But as I work with people, we find out how little the procedural side is understood and how we would be using those procedures. They're so simple, actually. How we make too much out of some of this to get back to what the simple stuff is. And where they're leading us into no, Never Never Land is typified by this statement. And I want to tie this over. I want you to expand this notice to us. I've been talking contrary to the digital world, the digital realm, and our life inside that matrix. I've said years ago, the matrix is not a movie. And this is the kind of world we are being moved into, and silence against it is going to allow it to come in. Unless I've been talking to an awful lot of people who are just so silent when they get there, they'll have the answer. I don't know, but no one's telling me that they do. And when we get into practicing how that's going to work right now to flex those muscles of protection, people don't understand, actually. It's not going to be something where you're going to be macho and deal with this. This is a totally different type of attack. But here we have a story that's going to, I'm going to expand it. Think about this as I'm going to expand upon it. Hyundai app. Here's your app world. Not too apt, but it's app, where bugs, a Hyundai app, bugs allowed hackers to remotely unlock and start cars. I just used that heading, and it says inside the text, security researchers found the issues and explored similar attack surfaces in the Sirius XM, smart vehicle. Again, smart, S-M-A-R-T, is not too intelligent, folks. The smart vehicle platform used in cars from other makers. Toyota, Honda, FCA, Nissan, Acura, Infiniti, that allowed them to remotely unlock, start, locate, flash, and honk. And I just want to use this to tell us, this is your notice. These corporations are one of those third-party members that you have that has access to your life, controls your life. And I want to suggest something here. What if your car was your new digital wallet? And what if all these software and hardware vulnerabilities is your future that you might want to put together as a prior existing right? Your right not to be associated with these types of vulnerabilities. Therefore, it's not good for you. And present that. And don't have all this stuff in technology and don't agree to it. And I don't know how you don't agree to it because it just becomes pervasive everywhere. I suppose you just stop using the new stuff. We learn to become a more reliant group of people on older technology. Again, not reliant. We're just relying on the old technology, the stuff that isn't hackable in this way. But anyway, so I thought this was kind of interesting. You can't, third parties can remotely unlock and start your wallet in the future, notwithstanding everything the third party will offer as something as a benefit to you or that they say is your security. There is no, folks. We can say that, oh, I know that and I won't get involved. The pressures are coming down. You're going to hear countries are exercising how they're going to go and pull that off, pull the rug right out from underneath you. So I'm asking people just to get more vocal and more action-oriented in order to let people know, especially the officials, this is not going down the path that the rest of the world is. Use the fact of the difference in the United States as it ought to run, as a difference in the world, as your prior existing right to insist that there's nobody that can trespass that. There's no authority that can trespass that foundational point. There's no authority that can compel you to force an association with all these security vulnerabilities, notwithstanding the promise. It is only a promise. Go look up promise. Go see what that means. Go look up promise relative to an election candidate. See how much that means. You're going to start to realize, as I did years ago, this is, again, it's an open-air prison. All these things are lies. And until people get together and mutually defend themselves against these lies, not just the fact that it's a lie, what it does in function to interfere and trespass your life. It's the false imprisonment in the first instance that I talk about. It's the most ancient trespass and assault upon everybody. And anybody who talks about their rights but doesn't know how to get at them, notwithstanding the procedural impositions, which aren't so bad, actually, when you understand what you're looking at. And then you realize, when you start realizing enough, reading enough, you start realizing that even those rules can be waived if you know what to do, which I've done. I'm not speaking that I haven't talked about this or even done it myself. Again, I don't know that there's much I haven't tried to do myself and done and seen why I need to tell you about this and why you need to know about it as we move into this future. We can say we won't do stuff, but the inducement's pretty powerful. Google, those are your drivers in Hyundai and all the other companies that are using software apps. Any other app, I hope you picked that up, is vulnerable to this stuff. Your whole world now seems to work on apps. In fact, it's getting very difficult not to have to go through somewhere to get through unless you have an app. All kinds of workarounds. Thank you again to Sound Minds and the work behind the scenes, pulling stuff together to try to find around ways around paywalls and ways around all the things that the apps try to obstruct us with. Well, if you don't use them, then you're just going to be obstructed a different way. But this is the constriction happening as we use the technology. Okay, so Hyundai, these guys, these auto manufacturers have this problem. I'm going to ask you to look at that's your wallet, not just your car, where you drive around. The vehicle is your wallet eventually, how you exist in the world. And upon that phone, upon that device that's going to be your future, because you keep letting it happen, even if those that you don't, you're going to be forced into a minority that likely might, because there's no other option. Google to allow users to upload driver's license to their phone. The gateway to digital ID. Again, what we've been talking about for a long time, how they incrementally bring it in. They allow you the benefit. Don't underestimate this third-party allowance and censorship and who owns the platform, and then they're a third-party looking in at your stuff. Oh, they claim they have security that won't look at it themselves. That can't be trusted. Again, this is a big trust issue. This statement about crypto being non-trust, untrustable, you don't need to trust, that's a bad seed. The whole public trust thing turns on your mind upon that. And the officials shouldn't be given a license not to, and these third parties shouldn't be given a license to impose. They can offer, don't accept, but it's worse than that. You not accepting is not going to answer it either. Because this is a global momentum, as I've been pointing out. The notice in the news tells us all that. In December system update, Google announced a new feature for Google Wallet. Users can now upload their driver's license, enabling the digitization of ID. Don't forget the Hyundai problem. Don't forget the fact that people can hack remotely these digital apps. Apple Wallet has had the feature since September 2021. Not even new now, as we've been saying. We're talking about wallets and IDs and all this stuff. It's It's going to be the future. It is. It's now, actually. It's not the future for some. Google said the feature will, quote, allow users to select U.S. states to digitize their state ID driver's license into Google Wallet for convenient, private, and secure presentation. The feature has been added as a beta feature and would be rolled out if successful. Well, what's the success? The adoption. I know people don't listen behind the woodshed in any numbers, but we have to get the word out that you don't adopt. It's just where we're at. And so this feature is allowed by a third party who then you go look at their app and you go look at their privacy statements is doing behind the scenes, they call it legitimate interest apps to hundreds of other third parties. And you think, they tell you and they promote that this is supposed to be secure. Integrate that with your, because you have a Hyundai, you likely have a driver's license. You haven't looked at the driver's code and understood what the code requires that you can't give them and don't give them, even though you think you could give them. And then say, wait a minute, you don't have the right to interfere with my right to use the road. Not the motor vehicle code, the road law of your state. As an ingress and egress, and likely a pertinent your property rights. I've already talked about all this, I'll summarize it here, I've got tons and tons to go. Here's a slow incremental appreciation in my eyes to see they slowly get people to pull themselves right out of the fundamental system on the ground. The fundamental organic nature of their government, and they get them into the, not only avert this internet, the Google side, the Google possessed internet, possessed. Yeah. Like that. Demonic. So, here we go. What digital wallet? Oh, the Google allows it. Think about that, or the orientation about that. And where does the wallet go? The digital ID, the real ID, it's all in commerce. You've said that. You said when you filled out your application, you do nothing but commerce. You didn't even present that you had an ingress and egress right before that, that they can't regulate. And I'm not saying that's going to get you that power. I'm saying that you need to say that, and you need to push back, because they're ignoring that. Moving on. Senators attack Apple's unconscionable Chinese policy, which I talked about last week. We have the Apple being amenable to the government of China to block things in the app. See, control. That third-party control was given evidence for us again that I was pointing out. We have Senator Josh Hawley this week coming out right after that as a written to an open letter to Apple's Tim Cook and amongst other topics is accusing the company of helping China suppress free speech. So I just will stop. We can go on and on about this. I was interested to wonder why it hasn't been unconscionable that the federal government interfered with states' rights and didn't arrest all the dereliction of duty in the COVID swindle. Why wasn't that unconscionable? Why wasn't it unconscionable for the people to be brought up underneath an attack on the White House, so-called, when they were invited? What is this immunity they're claiming? Understand, and it's a subtlety. Is it immunity, or do you have the right to know? The immunity is only from certain things. Do people even argue this stuff? No, no, but why is this more of a statement of unconscionability in the Chinese policy about Apple? And why is he talking about the open letter on this and not on the other frauds? And I bring up this in my mind, just the word unconscionable. How many times have I told you attack these policies for their unconscionability? Find out what that is. Find out how these policies are unconscionable. And push it, whether you think you can win or not. In fact, I've told people, if there's a procedural advantage that you can take, even if you don't understand exactly how, execute the procedural advantage. Get it on the record, even if they won't listen to you. That's just showing you you're in front of a corruption. I don't know what you're going to do about that totally, but at least you start to understand the battlefield a lot better. So this senator attacks Apple for unconscionable. I've been saying he knows the word. The word wasn't like I didn't make that up. Something unconscionable is a very powerful thing if you can show it. It eliminates what you're dealing with underneath the obligation, actually. And so these words are kind of, if I say magical, don't take it out of context, they do something. They have a force and effect in how they're supposed to be dealt with. The treatment of them is very particular. And you find these things, these failures, these violations, when someone's putting an affront on you, I don't care who it is, you're going to be able to be better positioned. Don't go wild off on it. You just stick right to the point. You stick right on what is unconscionable and have it right. Don't have it wrong. You got to not make an issue. You want to make it factually correct. Whether or not another other side is going to listen. You still have to make your honor yourself. So unconscionable is an interesting word here. He thinks that's unconscionable. I'm thinking, what about all the other things that are unconscionable? Why only this thing rises to the top of this guy? I don't want to even judge him. I don't even know. I mean, for me, they're all political party creatures, and they're all a problem. So I'm not even wondering about who he is anymore. But I just find out what they pick out. See, they focus our attention on certain things, and the rest of it goes by the wayside. But he used the word unconscionable. I've been using it. Maybe it's a word you should check into. New documents and what's unconscionable and why he didn't talk about this. New documents shed light on CIA's connection to Lee Harvey Oswald. New documents, folks. This has been an ongoing thing all my life. The Corps of Researchers looking into 1963 assassination of President John F. Kennedy said that they have unearthed a proof of his alleged assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, was involved in an operation by CIA where mere months before the killing, reigniting questions about whether Oswald truly was alone in his decision to kill the youngest man ever elected president. Now, there is a swirl of stuff going on around this whole issue, and I stopped actually looking at it when they didn't divulge and disgorge the record, which is slowly being teased out. And I just want to point out here, I'm hoping something at least breaks, and this is not going to answer much of anything in a way, that they're pointing out Lee Harvey Oswald may have been involved in the CIA. I think you're going to find out that it was, but that is still a red herring. There's a whole other set of facts that you can put together that said there were others involved, and I don't want to speculate here on this broadcast. It's just not enough time, and I don't think we could do it justice anyway, because there's still outlying information, and then there's that one which we may never know. But it says here that apparently by December 15th, some more documents are going to be released on this thing that should have been done before. Every president has stopped. And I told you, when President Trump didn't release those, not that I could care. President Trump is a problem too. So those of you that are Trump rallyists, I'm sorry. I'm not really sorry, but you're going to have to understand how I look at a lot of this stuff. We're having a real trouble, and there's no one that gets in office that doesn't continue the trouble. Everyone's rallying again. Well, I was kind of be careful about Elon Musk, about exposing all this, and he's the biggest thing. Yeah, he might be to expose that, but it's for a reason. And I exposed a bit of that reason last week. And so you really got to take this, if you will, jaded eye on what you're watching. Be careful to step too close. But I said at the time when Trump did not release this information, because it looked like all the people that were involved were dead, I said, this has to mean that there is an organization alive today that's going to be targeted as the culprit. This story brings us closer to the fact it is an organization. No one living today would have a problem with that information being disseminated now. And so we are getting closer to the fact that it had to be. Whether it's the CIA, I don't know. Whether the CIA in collusion with others, I don't know. The point is, it's taken all this time for the government to come clean, if it ever will. And the problem with this is our agencies are supposed to be under law, and we find out that they're not. And I'm wondering when, at some point, where people are going to finally get fed up enough and say enough is enough, and we've got to really, I don't know what to do, but we are going to move in unison to change things. I hear lots of suggestions, and I'm not unliking some of the suggestions. But the actual implementation is not for us, essentially. We're asking, this should happen, and we expect someone else to do it. And I don't know how anyone will do something, actually, at this point, because the problems are so vast and wide. Well, they're not unresolvable. And they do have rational and quick resolve, but we're not in a position to do it, and I don't know many people that are in the position to set up some kind of a record to even attempt to be able to move forward. And this is to me, it's a little more difficult challenge here that we do this. But this is very interesting to me. Why wasn't the senator saying that withholding all this information was unconscionable, that not allowing the people to know is unconscionable, that not allowing the people to know if it is an agency or agencies of the United States to know is unconscionable? How about when, if we find out that there's foreign interests involved that know and did it, that are under the gun if we were to expose it? You'll hear in this story, it doesn't say that there's any information that they put together at this point that says the CIA done it. And that's true. It does say that it would be an embarrassment. I'm suggesting to you, if you find out that it was the CIA, it's going to be more than an embarrassment. And then what about all the presidents that covered that up? Why didn't we get to the problem quickly? Why weren't we given knowledge to constrain the government to its limited form? It is a treason. And so enough there, I suppose. I could read more. There's some really interesting stuff in this link. Again, I didn't get that close. When I realized we weren't getting the information, I said, okay, I'm going to take a step back. I'm not going to get worked up in a lather over it. It's going to take us time if we ever get it. It's maybe coming time we might get to see something, but I'm wondering, with only a few documents left, if that's true in this story, then maybe, again, there's going to be stuff left out. We need to understand one way or the other. And I think, if you will, we should be grown up enough to accept this, and our leaders should have been duty-bound enough to know that and present it. Otherwise, they're all committing treason to continue the body politic, if you will, if you please, to be in ignorance. We're talking about an establishment of a government that was supposed to be a limited form to be controlled by what? The Second Amendment, or the right of the people to alter and abolish the government as they saw fit. This is not an immunity thing. This is the thing I get back over to the Washington so-called invasion, what January 6th they call it. I really haven't been looking at that. The whole thing is ludicrous. And you see what pours out of it. But no one picks up all the pieces or parts of the pieces and say, wait a minute, we can make points here and re-educate people. And I say that only because I don't know what else we need to do with an ignorant population. A population completely ignorant, it seems. To the point that people outside the country are questioning, are the people in America okay? They don't hate us as people. They know they don't trust our government, but they don't hate us. They just wonder what's happened. Why do you put up with this nonsense? Why do you work your life to go to get an education and then be under servitude, in debt all your life, paying it off? What nonsense is that? Why did the government allow that and you allowed it onto yourself? And then these types of things. How does the people allow this ignorance, this blockage under the pretense of immunities, the pretense of a political power to keep the people from knowing about their government, whether or not it's limited or not? Well, we can see all the other signs that it's not. In fact, the offices of profit wasn't supposed to be literal profit, but do you see what's gone on? And so moving on, again, tons of tabs to pull together. Why wasn't it unconscionable that this information hasn't been let out all this time, that this other senator wants to beat down on Apple working with China? Why isn't that a whole different problem? Where are our priorities here? Yes, denounce Apple, denounce China, the connection, and then denounce the entirety of the Internet as any kind of an authority. Denounce the reliance on that for ID. Denounce that it's going through the fact of getting into every aspect of your life. That's unconscionable. Why isn't that written about? You can too, folks. I mean, I don't know where this goes. Just we need a better voice out there, a better understanding, more comprehensive. As I see, as arrogant as it might sound, we're all still one or two steps behind where we need to be. As I was trying to, I did expose, whether it interests anybody, I don't really know, how we could identify where we are relative to an objective basis in the dereliction of duty to implement the communicable disease law. That was pretty cut and dry to me. Black and white, short paragraphs, a few things in the list. And boy, we just have not picked up on that as a population. And I don't see, that's a foreboding. I don't know if I want to delve in too much in my psyche, because I just don't know what more to think about. As we move this digital world in, it's hackable, honkable now, lightable, remotely startable, stoppable, through these apps, through these internet connections, in through a digital ID. They said wallet and ID. Okay? When we're talking about this, the Fed coin, your trust and relationship to a third party you've never met, no arm's length transaction, it's based in the entity, the medium exclusively. You have the right to denounce it, or do you? This next story tells us it's going to be a lot tougher when they trigger this thing. And I've told you before, your Second Amendment will not stop this. There's not a lot that can. It's just your action, your deed, your combined mutual resistance to it, and the development for yourself, because your survival is now at stake to implement the alternative, which even would be better at fiat. Then experts raise concern as Nigeria limits cash withdrawals in Nigeria, of all places, internet spammers and all this, cash withdrawals so that you adopt and are coerced into accepting their digital system. It's right around the corner, folks. Experts on Wednesday raised concerns over a new policy announced at the Central Bank of Nigeria. Can I repeat that? The Central Bank of Nigeria that heavily limits withdrawals of money and push for a cashless economy. There it is. The monetary policy, which applies to ATMs, banks, cashback for purchases, follows the launch of West Africa nations' newly designed currencies, notes to control the money supply. See, they always come under the cover of law, crime and money laundering and all that, but they're using all these systems to do the very same thing. They never control that, but they're utilizing it. It's the stalking horse that they use in order to profess some power, some political and police power to do this. The central bank limited weekly over-the-counter cash withdrawals to about $225 for individuals and $1,124 for corporations, with a processing fee required to access more. They're going to limit that some more. I want to show you here that corporations and individuals are not treated the same in the same commerce system. That should be a clue to you. I don't know actually why. I don't want to get too lost in all this. These are the things you start looking for to show there's no equity in this system. There's coercion and extortion in this system. And that's not a limited form, and that's not given to a government. That's why you also listen for the warrant, the reason why they do it, and you have to take that reason away. Then you get to your extortion, because then it's unwarranted. It's under the pretense of or the color of a reason. It's not legitimate. That's what I pointed out to you in this Covey swindle, Covey fraud, the statement that a presumptive emergency can be something at all, and then based on something that was never identified. That doesn't provide a warrant. The presumption that symptoms is the cause cannot be used as a warrant. I've explained how you destroy all that so that they don't have their basis for causing a warrant under an official act, that when you remove the lawful basis, the lawful reason, the proper reason, they are committing extortion, coercion, and when they both exist, it's a conversion of your property or your rights. Coercion is of the rights. The extortion is over the property, whatever you identify. Hopefully it's a protectable one. And I've been, again, that becomes up importantly recently when we're looking at these Title 42 issues. They can only be protectable interests, so you got to be careful on what you speak to. Anyway, so here they are. They're going to force people and coerce them, and it's known that they're coercing people. It's known that they're going to extort their property, their ability to acquire property through the limitation. Understand that switch. They take the money away. You cannot now go unfettered. You cannot go with your right to go acquire property as you decide. That's your ability to attack them. Don't forget these things. I talk about property for a reason. So moving on, they've got the coercion coming. The test cases in Nigeria. They print this other new money so that they can watch and control it. It's not new what they're doing. It's just that they're doing it. Now, something I talked about last week, we talked about it. It was an exposure. I don't do this research, and thank you to those that do. Again, we all have a skill that we do. I can only do so much myself. What I can do, and I hope I do, is bring my experience and what I do and translate that out to other things that my experience encompasses that I can point out to people that might find those subject matter areas important for them to go down those trails. I can kind of point that out, I suppose, and I'm hoping that people, it means something to more and more people that we do something all together. We're all doing our own little thing, but we're doing it more properly and we're doing it on a focused nature. We're not trying to shoot the whole forest up. We're just trying to take out that enemy that's sitting in there and using the forest of what our beliefs are, the forest of the warm green forest to hide behind these trees that they were never supposed to be in the forest at all. They're coming as an enemy and using the trees to hide their criminality. So we talked about in our trust system, what we seem to be utilizing more and more in getting ourselves into the digital world. Again, Matrix is not a movie. They're going to use your energy as human capital. Your energy is what drives them. Your interests is what drives them. And your lack of resistance is what allows them. We had a thing called Trust Core last week we talked about. Was brought up, and where that was your digital certificates underneath all of these things on the internet and the connections that are going on through all these devices. The web browsers drop, mysterious company with ties to U.S. military contractor. So after the revelation, it's exposed, the web browsers that use that Trust Core as an organization dropped their root certificate authority authorization. So they were duped too, folks, if you thought that there was security and safety in these things. This is just one of the hundreds of third-party people that there was being relied upon that we never know. Did I know before this? No. But some people that are watching did figure it out. And so last week's story comes up today. As soon as we knew there was a problem, some people drop it. Problem is, we allowed it first place. We've allowed this system that is hackable right from the first instance. I'm offering us an insight here. There should have been something going on. The third-party people that offer us these and allow us to do things haven't a clue either. Okay, we get into these protectable interests, as I was mentioning here before, these fundamental rights that are supposed to be protected. They're to be protected ahead of time, not after the fact. They're not protected if you lose them. This is why I say, whenever you're a producer and you're getting attacked by the government and you had a right to do what you were doing, you can never win that fight because there was an injustice from the beginning of the attack. That's not a land of the free, home of the brave, and being at peace, and at peace. Getting back to the digital realm and how attackable, honkable now, you know, they can just get in your wallet and honk and say, here I am, I just got all your stuff. Web browsers dropped the mysterious. So, third parties didn't know. No way they could protect you. We don't know against the military, no less, or a military contractor, no less. So read into that story. Now apply it. You have trust in all this? Do we have trust? And if you don't have trust, why are you continuing to use your phones? They're not making a stink about that. Or don't use them with protection or whatever it is. Yeah, whatever you can do. Don't agree by using them that into certain inducements and enticements. As I told you, the digital currency thing was, people still argue this, but I don't know why. I told you that was the Wild Wild West. To have a carnival was all going on with the digital coins, but that was to get people to get used to them and feel comfortable with them and work out the problems, which you're now realizing that if you listen carefully, the banking system has identified all those problems and said that's not good enough for us. It's why we now have to do what we're doing. Fascinating how they work out. So they don't trust, but you see them take action to protect their own interests, not yours. And they make you, bring you into a servitude because you're more impressed with what you need and what you want, what's nice and what's cool, than what's going to keep you safe, actually. So the question of trust here moves on to this story I finally get to. The biblical flooding in Saudi Arabia, these cars swept away after the king prays for rain. So all these Hyundais that have all the problems, whatever they were doing there, they got swept away on the king's prayer for rain. Pretty interesting story. Who can you trust, folks? The kingdom of Saudi Arabia has hit by biblical flooding after the country's king prayed for rain. King Salman bin Abdulaziz al-Saud had called to the locals of Saudi Arabia to pray for rain earlier this week. Due to a lack of rain in recent months, the king, who is also the custodian of the two holy mosques, told his people to supplicate Allah Almighty and ask for forgiveness and repentance. He also told them to do good deeds and give charity. Now, I don't see what's wrong with all that, but all while praying for rainfall, he admonished. The official decree came from the royal court on Tuesday, and just 24 hours later, the heavens opened up, but in the most dramatic fashion. Flooded all that technology right out to the ocean, I suppose. But there you go. Who do you trust, folks? The king trusted Allah, and there you go. We get rain in more copious and more abundant than we actually need it. But that's okay. Who do you trust, folks? You trust this digital world? I know coincidence, but look, it did happen. Who are you going to trust, folks? Speaking biblical, moving in through Babylon, the Babylon Bee joins the Onion in decrying an Ohio law that makes parody a felony. Remember, if you have Babylon, yes, biblical, yeah, we can move on over to there. Babylon Bee parody. Funnin' has become a felony in Ohio, and they've added, they're now having to enter in with the Onion in urging the Supreme Court to defend the First Amendment against Ohio law that makes parody a felony. The case, which the Institute for Justice is asking the court to take up, involves Parma resident Anthony Novak, who in 2016 was prosecuted for violating a state law against using a computer to, quote, disrupt, interrupt, or impair the function of any police, fire, education, commercial, or governmental operations. Novak supposedly did that by creating a parody of the Parma, there's no H in this one, it's P-A-R, not P-H, Parma Police Department's Facebook page. So Babylon didn't even like someone babbling on. But it took the parody companies to step up because they're being imposed. Now, I don't know what people feel about parody. To me, it's just another comedian in the world, and they can make some interesting statements. Not that I read too much into the Babylon Bee or the Onion. But periodically, they come in with something that's pretty funny, and they do a pretty good, interesting job on how to tweak the thought to make you tweak your thought. Point is, that communication style has been outlawed in Ohio, and now we have to defend ourselves and our right to to make fun at each other. Oh, because it touched the sacred state, because there's no limit on that, apparently. Well, there might be here, but it requires that we step up. And so the Babylon Bee and the Onion have stepped up to defend themselves against what might be journalism, actually. And we have another story. Journalism group says wiretapping charges against Ohio news outlet threatens press freedom. And so people speaking about this, for their aspect, if I didn't have another thought about it, start to explain to us in a short form reason why it's important that, if you will, judicial censorship, legislative censorship is not proper. How do you communicate some ideas sometimes to be able to speak and to correct things that are in the world that need to be corrected and are not corrected is really not up to the government at all. And so, just pointing out here, your free speech is under attack through various avenues. We can't even tell a joke. That's not even new, because the comedians were saying comedianship is being stifled by this cancel culture. Some boldly stood out and didn't care. But I noticed anyway, without even having connections out, there was more quiet. So there's an interesting self-censorship that starts to go on. And then behind which we have to start changing our words a little bit. Try not to censor ourselves. Still get the word out, but what? There's a pragmatic reason why we cannot say certain things when we are utilizing that third-party controller. We have no direct access. Even Twitter, the town square, I understand. Excuse me, I call it the public square. Last week it was a turn of a phrase, circling the square, not square the circle. But anyway, the public square. Elon Musk says it's the town square. No, it's not. It's not. Don't get lulled into that. But this is what we talk about. This is the Internet of Things. You can't get on the Internet. You can't do a parody account. Well, it's Ohio law says, and there's a challenge. Someone had to step up. The Committee to Protect Journalists has demanded the dropping of wiretapping charges against an editor of a news outlet based on Ohio under the Ohio revised code wiretapping for a fourth-degree felony, carrying a charge of $5,000 and maximum prison sentence of 18 months. The judge, Randy Deering, made an order before the trial started that any witness, including co-defendants who wanted to opt out of being filmed by the news crew, could do so. Jake Wagner chose not to be recorded by the news media. However, any members of the public could attend in the court proceeding and hear his testimony in person. Cell phones and laptops were banned from the courtroom as well. Midway through Jake Wagner's testimony, the Guardian editor sued the presiding judge, Randy Deering, in the 4th District Court of Appeals, seeking the higher court's intervention to allow the news media to record Wagner's confession on the stand. So I'm not going to get more in detail. You can read on where the different facets of the attack are, what judges can do. This is a difficult thing relative to the claim, because the judge is really the controller of the decorum in their court. Typically, that's given a lot of weight. So you have to have a really strong basis, and that's why I say the protectable fundamental interests are the ones that are enumerated in the constitutions or imposed upon the states by the 14th Amendment or by the states themselves. And so you have to know, you can't just talk, I have rights. You have to know really what they are, and then the extent they've been limited, if you will. And you can get a wiretapping charge on this. And I would say, if you look in close, this is what I've suggested as well, you do to the government. But not on a court case. Find the other things that this would apply to the government itself, people that do this. Understand your wiretapping law. Understand in some states it's two-party, one-party knowledge. Understand that the government itself does this. In fact, this is a interesting little condition that happened against a minor. Government was trying to do some undue influence, and they didn't want to use the mail because we identified that they committed fraud through the mail, so they started making phone calls. They started using the internet. So we hit them for the wiretapping stuff. communication problem. So you got to understand what they're doing and how they move around to try and move around and get around all these things. But you can be going to a court, you can do something, and then you are facing some felony condition, and then you, then the public doesn't get to know because the judge says, oh, this is too sensitive, that the journalists can't go in and report on this. Now, I understand you can go through and read why the court could keep them secret, but they didn't do that in this case. And they didn't give a reason. Again, there's always has to be this good warrant, a qualified warrant. And then in this case, it's a little bit more difficult because the judge is giving a high degree of discretion. Anyway, the press can still come forward. It's one of the last powerful things that might be able to while we're seeing the press and journalism destroyed. All manners of ways. As the lingering thing and problem here, top media outlet now, it's expanding. This pushback is starting to expand. People are starting to realize what the governments are doing to diminish our ability as people to get information, however wrong it might be. But this one may or may not be. This one caused a real ruckus. We're now seeing the pushback from major media finally coming, I don't know where they were all this other time, coming to condemn what's going on with Julian Assange. Top media outlets demand U.S. end prosecution of Julian Assange. U.S. charges against the WikiLeaks founder threaten press freedom. It set dangerous precedent. And U.S. and European media say, what have I been saying all this time? Where are these influential officials and these celebrities that know what's going on, can write, that can understand what's going on and to write it and communicate it? Where have they been all this time? Okay, finally we're starting to get some people that are in the journalism. Maybe they're just embarrassed. They weren't part of this. I don't know. But they're finding out, as you think, you've got to think this through, being silent on his abuse. And what they've done was not a good thing. If they're going to go after the Babylonian Bee and the Onion, maybe journalism is not long for this world, but for it's written somewhere that it's important. Do you understand this, what I'm telling you about objective basis? And if it wasn't written somewhere, this wouldn't even be a footnote somewhere. It wouldn't even be existent. And why I keep telling you, find the objective basis, black and white, no one can fight it, defend against the fact that it exists. No one can argue around it. Oh, they can bring some nonsense, but that's usually, you're able to defend against all that. It's stupidity on its face. It's the frivolous statement, it's the vexation, it's the harassment that you get to hit back with. So, United States must end its prosecution of Julian Assange. Top global media organizations have urged, saying that the U.S. indictment against WikiLeaks founder threatens free expression and freedom of the press. And what the United States did, they bring him under the Espionage Act, and they attempt, and they've so far have been successful, to make it not look like he's in journalism. That's just a pretense. And when you find out, as we find out, we go through this, the U.K. was involved, and move on now, again, just touching the briefest of information here to show you the threat is real, it's not going away. Our silence is killing us. Then we finally respond, hopefully not too late, is my observation. And we attempt to push back on a tyranny that's just to envelop the world. And don't underestimate the communication and the spirit that controls the air, and communication is all the same. Operation Pelican to seize Assange involved 15 UK government agents. Now, that's agency. You would think the judiciary is supposed to be independent. I can prove to you, and it's not. It's just part of the government. You all know that. But 15 UK governmental agents involved kind of puts a little bit of a taint on the judiciary on how it's deciding right now. That the UK is involved, and you're standing in front of a judge that protects the Queen, is not a good position to be in. And how that appearance of impropriety isn't being just lambasted by the journalism right now, I don't even understand. Secret Operation Pelican to seize Assange came to light after being revealed in the memoirs of a former UK Foreign Minister, Sir Alan Duncan. Fresh information, so this would be information not known at the time, can be brought to open up a sealed decision. Right? I'm giving you the reasons why I don't understand why people are the journalists that are out there that know how to write and communicate ideas aren't doing it right here. Are bringing in this fresh, unknown information to open up a closed situation to help him. I can't believe there's not an attorney out there that knows how to do this. Fresh information revealed that these 15 people were appointed to the UK government to a secret operation to seize WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange from the Ecuadorian embassy in London. And this is explanation, too. It shows that the Ecuadorian president at the time, why he helped Julian Assange, which I think, again, has always been proper. Remember how terrible this was done. It started through Sweden and got him to run into the Ecuadorian embassy because he didn't have any defenses, and the United States could not be trusted. Don't ever forget, the United States has been found by a UK court, and this hasn't come up for Assange either, that the United States has inhumane prison system. It's been decided a couple of times, and a couple of other people, particularly in the data field, the computer field, were not allowed to be extradited because of that. But this Assange is still in there and confined. I don't know what to say more than just a crime, an open crime. And then if we find out that that information is not limited in form, that it expands and causes crime in the world, maybe the population needs to know that. That's what journalism was supposed to do anyway. He's been acknowledged to be a journalist. He's been acknowledged to have an organization that's within that protection. Some will deny it, but it's been acknowledged. So I don't know what the real question is here, except we find now the UK government was involved in an operation to help the United States. And he's sitting before a judiciary in the UK. Cannot be but more the appearance of impropriety, which should be enough to have released him. And it's not. You're looking at a global prison. The players of the US and the UK on the world, and what they've done in history, you go back and just research it, creates this as a prison of all you thought was holy. Protectable rights, free, the beacon of freedom, which is, to my mind, the range of motion within a frame of constraint, so it's the dumb free. But here we go. So, Operation Pelican, it was the UK involved to take him out, and look at what they've done. I'm looking into this case as best as I can, as neutrally as I can. I cannot find any justice whatsoever. And I can't find an attorney that's over there, a barrister or whatever, a solicitor, that's even coming close to what I think I see that's available. And then would it matter? Because there's apparently, and we found some information, the judge presiding over this is compromised, I would say, a bit. But here, UK involved with getting Assange taken out of an embassy. It just is, I don't know why we're not hearing a larger cry. We're beginning to hear it. Thank you very much. I guess I should say at this point, moving on. The U.S. Supreme Court, I know it doesn't make sense here, but U.S. Supreme Court hears landmark LGBTQ case. Well, this is going to be talking about your servitude. That they think that you're just a domesticated animal to serve everyone. And this case comes up and says this. I'm shocked. Shocked at how bold the audacity the court had to say what they're going to say in this case. The U.S. Supreme Court hears landmark LGBTQ case. A web designer is arguing she shouldn't be forced to create sites celebrating gay marriage. We've heard these cases before. What shocked me was this statement. At the core of the case is what constitutes speech. Let me read that again. At the core of the case is what constitutes speech. An appeals court has already decided that Smith's work is technically speech, but ruled against her regardless, declaring that artists offer such an exclusive set of skills that the state has an interest in compelling them to serve everyone. It is a shocker to me if you didn't think you don't live in a prison that can direct your energies, and that sits in the judiciary of a court of appeals in the United States of America. Oh, you can speak, but because you speak with a skilled set of, a very narrow set of skills, an exclusive set, they say, the government can compel you. and you think you're free. And those of you say you know you don't, did you understand that your servitude was can be compelled to this level? That because you specialized in some skill, it can be commanded to be put somewhere? I thought they disallowed involuntary servitude. I thought there had to at least be a crime before they could impose a servitude. But I'm suggesting to you, you are a criminal. That this statement proves you can be compelled notwithstanding your speech because you're a special case. And I want to figure out anyone who makes a statement that speech is a special case, that this doesn't apply to y'all. But I already know that it does, because I believe you live in an open-air prison, and this is what the warden can tell you. This is what the judiciary, so-called, of law allows. I am stunned. I don't even know where to begin to start about this. In a way, I don't care how this case turns up, if they fix it. But there's people in the world that say because you have a special skill set, you can be compelled to servitude, compelled to act. It's absolutely antithesis, not even of freedom. I mean, I don't even think peasants suffered this. I could be wrong. I never lived in that world. I lived in this one. This was open-air prison enough. I cannot believe it. I'm reading this. I'm stunned. Do you hear that? Declaring that artists offer such an exclusive set of skills that the state has an interest in compelling them to serve everyone. Where did anyone in the state get that power to compel anyone? A court can come in and say that they can serve everyone. It's a stunner to me. That is even in someone's mind. Is your problem. My problem too. Your problem. There are people in the world that actually believe this, and you know I'm a little concerned. This might actually prevail. The way they twist and turn, the attorneys turn the framing of what works here, is criminal. How you frame something is absolutely critical. And I'm thinking about here, there was a document. I guess I maybe pull that up. Oh, no, I know what it was. I'm trying to think here. One of these stories explains how they did that. This issue down in Texas where the Texas law is also being attacked in this condition. As we're getting to it right now, that's why my mind's going backwards and forwards here. There's a Texas law. I'll get to it right now. It's being attacked and on the framing. That was the point of how I put this here. Court blocks Texas social media free speech. It may be heading to the Supreme Court. Court blocks Texas social media law. They're attacking this, and what I found interesting is how the attorneys change it. And this is a really serious attack, and it may have merit in the way they framed it. Except you have to think about this. The defense here is saying they needed that stay because this is an unconstitutional act. The Supreme Court's going to have to declare that. But they said this ruling means that Texas unconstitutional law will not be enforced as the issue of government-compelled dissemination of speech makes its way to the Supreme Court. We are confident these laws will not stand. What's this about? What's about the social media companies stepping in to ask for an injunction against the law, which they say requires them to disseminate, which is allowing, the law says that you cannot stop someone on your platform from speaking. You cannot interfere, in other words, cause a censorship, which the state maybe inadvisedly said was constricted to conservative. They should have just said, just anybody's speech. So that was, you can't do that. It was legally challenged by an industrial group representing social media companies. However, this September, the Fifth Circuit upheld the law, arguing that it rejects the idea that corporations have a freewheeling First Amendment right to censor what people say. That's a huge statement, because that's no applicable First Amendment to the third parties, which have been denying that a private party can be held to this standard. And I got to thinking about that. Is it really that anybody in the United States can actually deny free speech? I don't think so. Especially these corporations. They came in and they can only be organized as long as they agree to follow the law, which allows free speech. Now, the question is where that line might be. What was interesting is they're saying, as we heard in the last part, that this would become a government-compelled dissemination. And I got to thinking about that. Do these third-party forums actually disseminate? Isn't the dissemination on the point of the pressing of the click of the button to post? And all they offer is that Hyundai vehicle to run that post around. They're not actually disseminating. They're actually using the vehicle to disseminate. It's a different point. But this was a brilliant attack by those that would want to stop this law to say it appears to be government-compelled dissemination and not explaining that's not what these forums actually do. And so we have to be very careful. What I'm saying, how you frame a condition or how a condition is framed needs to be analyzed very carefully to see if it's actually true and whether or not that can be used against you, essentially, as we try to defend ourselves. I hope I didn't make that convoluted. I kind of got into it a little bit off, but the court blocks a Texas social media, so apparently status quo to get the injunction is that a forum could censor and not regard the First Amendment. And that this is done to stay the whole condition pending the further discussion, if there is one, with the Supreme Court. But they did it on this statement that it is a government-compelled dissemination. I'm not so sure that's happening. The dissemination is when I push the button to post. All Twitter or Facebook is a vehicle to disseminate. They actually aren't doing anything. They've offered the forum. They've offered the organization subject to the law of the state that they were organized in. It provides for protections of free speech. And then what's the limit? The limit is what the law says is not protected, such as inciting riot, they say hate crime, I don't know what that is, but anyway, you understand it's an attack, unwarranted, violence against people, all these kinds of, there's a couple things. You can't disseminate child porn, that kind of stuff. That's all listed. That's really what they're really talking about, but we've gone way past it. I just wanted to point out here how someone is allowed to frame something can affect you in a serious way. They did it. They were able to frame this as an observation, as a statement, that it was government-compelled speech, essentially. They called it dissemination. Not speech, it's dissemination of information. I guess you can say they disseminate because they have the system, but they're not really doing anything. They've offered a vehicle to disseminate. And so the brilliantly stated point, but I think under scrutiny, it will be found out that they don't. To me, this is important because we might actually have the first crack in the porcelain relative to third parties' forums not adhering to what we would thought was our fundamental rights, if you will, in that regard. And as I've told you, I commented to Elon Musk. These observations, his impositions, weren't limited by the law, even in the policy of Twitter, which reflects this stuff, this proper application, notwithstanding all the nonsense that's being exposed behind the scenes, that these were tools to control people's perception. And another someone else stepping up, Rumble, files lawsuit to challenge New York social media censorship. Sound Minds over there is on Rumble, simulcasting this broadcast with visuals. For those of you who just like to see something, we've got all the links there as well, as we figured out how to do that too. But Rumble files lawsuit to challenge New York social media censorship law. New York's law would open the door for suppression of protected speech based on the complaints of activists and bullies. And this is about the government imposing the restriction on mere complaint. And I've suggested the likely answer to all this would be, and it would be very cumbersome, and maybe for a good reason, that until someone, a bully, takes someone who felt bullied by the other party to court and gets a judgment, then the social media companies don't have to act. unless it's clearly in violation of the law, as we would understand the prohibitions for obvious things like child porn and things like that are most obvious. Some are not so obvious. No, let's keep it a simple discussion. The free speech video sharing platform Rumble and its subscription platform Locals, which I didn't even know about, how closely I tied to these folks, but the subscription platform Locals has sued New York Attorney General Letitia James to challenge a social media censorship law that say it would force platforms to target constitutionally protected speech. And so, again, there needs to be a pushback because there's people in government that don't seem to have this in them anymore. There is a protectable interest. And the problem with a lot of this place is they presume that all this is law, and it's not, and it gets put in, and your rights get, your protected interest gets stifled or eliminated or deprived, and then you are a burden to have to go to court. That's not a protectable interest. A protectable interest. And so this is the where it fell off for me, and I saw that through the mining law and the miners and the grants and the trust establishment and the trusteeship, the beneficiary status, and started learning about trusts and what those are with governmental obligations, not sovereignty, but constraints. You start to see those protected spaces, if you know. You start to see the savings clauses looking at the past in organic establishment the government used to function in. Again, we should have the ability to see this information. It's taking Rumble to go ahead and do the lawsuit to challenge because the government decided they can go ahead and stifle. Whether this is going to win or not, I have, or going to be prevailing, to, that there's going to be an imposition on third parties to do now protected speech. You notice the difference between the two cases, the one in Texas and the one in New York. So it starts setting up a different problem as we move this forward. But in the chaos, and I don't know, this next story is kind of interesting in that regard. In the even in areas that you would think that maybe there's a question as to the existence of the discussion on the website, and we're going to move into, like, what does Area 51 really do? Well, that's national security to start with, but we all have heard our stories about what they do there. And yet, the government comes in and raids a home based on a website. So we have no protection up front, apparently, because this story doesn't elucidate the underlying cause for this. We have a free speech right that we can put on the internet, and yet we don't have the right to be noticed first that we have a problem and go through an administrative process on that protectable interest to keep it protected before we get engaged by the law enforcement. So we see DOJ raids home of Area 51 website. The Department of Justice sent federal agents to the home of Jorg Arnu, a Rachel, Nevada resident who runs a website dedicated to information about Area 51. He described the experience as humiliating, adding that the feds held his girlfriend at gunpoint. So you're looking at a very serious situation in the days when they can shoot anybody and get away with it. We're immune, and there's no authority around that can come after us because we're the feds. That's not true, but that's in practice what's going on. And don't underestimate the FBI is now international, as an international agency as well. Should have never happened, but there it was. The story keeps on going on here a little bit. Local news reporter George Knapp broke the news on Twitter, writing, quote, FBI agents came down hard on the operator of a popular website devoted to all things Area 51, its programs, lore, and legacy. More than a dozen agents served a no-knock warrant on Rachel, Nevada home of Jorg Arnu, owner of DreamlandResort.com. Stop right there. The local sheriff was not involved there, and that's the shame, first of all. But you can't have a website on Area 51. There's no real indication of what the guy did wrong. That is a problem. If you understand how far in advance your right sits before government intrusion, that this guy got picked up and threatened and humiliated, he says humiliated, potentially threatened with their lives, his girlfriend, at gunpoint, over what we can't know, and he doesn't have a knowledge, shows you that you don't have that protectable interest. See, it goes before. It's not supposed to come after, because the encroachment on that is unconscionable. I'll go back to that word. A protectable interest does not suffer the sovereignty at all. It is what the sovereignty is subject to. Why? It's not actually a sovereignty. So this one, this story is, again, it's the in the lineage of these things. Good to hear about George Knapp again. I hadn't heard his name for a long time, but here he is giving this report. You can't even have a website of Area 51 and have the belief that the government will come to you and suggest anything about it, any even one little thing, may not be proper and be put under a notice to remove and give you the opportunity, the due process, to do either do an administrative discussion or go judicial. No, they come in and they attack you. It's not a country of free people more than evidence of the prison I've been telling you you exist in. And we have a thing we can use here, I think, as I've explained it, to start pushing back. Why isn't the senator that wrote that letter to Apple in China, why isn't this unconscionable that I didn't see another letter pop out? It starts to irritate me. I start thinking about this stuff. Where are our people that call themselves the representatives of that have such a high position for themselves in their own mind that they decide that's the best letter? When I look at someone, an American was just threatened by an agent of the United States under a protectable right to say whatever he wanted to say and what she ever said or was going to say. And they weren't protected. Why wasn't that unconscionable? YouTube blocks channel of political commentator Monarch after court order. Just what I've been saying. Make them go get the court order. Stop with this social media nonsense. Stop with the FBI involving themselves. Let's go through this. At this point, it would be just a civil thing. And now, I'm not saying this is justifiable. When you read the story, there's still more corruption exposing the other side of this problem, and the judiciaries are corrupt. Not my opinion, folks. It's provable no matter how many number of areas you want to go into. Proved again in Tennessee, predicted and then proven every step of the way. Again, you build the traps, they fall. You're not that smart. These people aren't that smart. They fall into all these traps everywhere you set them. I'm trying to get you to understand that, too. You can set traps for officials, and they'll step right in them. You just take note of it. You just kind of become your own journalist. Do your investigative research on how they respond to the trap you set. They step right in it. Pretty simple. We don't do any of that. That's a technique, but I mean, we don't do that. We'd rather just whine and bemoan and just kind of keep it on the other side. Oh, we have a COVID safety and effectiveness problems. Well, wait a minute. No one had any authority. Why don't we go there first? There's no jurisdiction in these people to even offer it. As I said last night, somebody said, well, there's not safety and effective in UK. They're arguing the safety and effectiveness. I said, well, why are they safe and effective when they can't show that anywhere in the whole world, anywhere, ever was able to prove prevention and control like the law requires? If I don't get to prevention and control, it doesn't matter what I'm talking about, safe and effective. And if I get to safe and effective, then I'm giving to the miscreant, the official that violated the law, the felon, the official committing treason against the population, I give them the authority to be safe and effective. No, there's a first point of departure from the law that needs to be brought back, whether or not anybody right now will recognize it in any high place. The courts need to make the judicial orders. YouTube blocks channel of political commentator Monarch after court order. I read that, I go, wow, they're blocking a political commentator. And then I read the court order. Oh, well, he got a court order against it. Just what I've been saying. I'm not saying this court order is correct because of the political nature of the problem in Brazil's judiciary, but it did show that it is possible and it can work, and that's what YouTube responded to. It wasn't left to YouTube to make the decision. It was left to whomever had a problem to go to court to get the judgment, to get it judicially determined the protectable interest was not protectable by what someone did. It did not stay within that protection. YouTube has blocked the channel of popular Brazilian commentator Bruno Ayub, a.k.a. Monarch, the free speech supporter, announced the censorship of Twitter and blamed it on the federal Supreme Court. I was censored by the STF, the federal Supreme Court. We don't live in a democracy. Follow me on Rumble Monarch. how many days until police come to my house. You have to read this about how the judge that's involved in this is really more of a political creature. And that's what he's arguing about, and that's what his censorship it seems to be on, that we are living in a dictatorship of judiciary. And that sure rang to my ears. I just couldn't believe more about to say that. We are in a dictatorship of judiciary. It's really not judicial, though. And this is the thing about it. These words do not fit what we actually experience. He wrote that on an order requiring economist Marco Cintra to testify after he claimed the voting machines were a fraud. So there's this Alexander de Moraes who comes in the news. If we look around for this guy, he's also in the news right now in Brazil. Some really interesting stuff coming down. He's a judge currently in the Superior Electoral Court and the Supreme Federal Court and has been using his position to hand out censorship orders to social media platforms, ordering them to censor anyone who shares what he says is disinformation about Brazilian elections. And this little story here opens up a whole can of, bunch of cans of worms. Not the whoop ass behind the woodshed, just a can of worms of what a how problematic a problematic judiciary can be. But it does expose there is this pathway that YouTube did respond to finally on a court order that I would say they it takes the form of the law, even if it's the problem politically, that they then act on. Showing us the example, all these social companies have no real right to be deciding what's First Amendment violation. That should come from a court. And then when they, because they're the vehicle to disseminate, not the vehicle of dissemination, they then can turn the key off, remove the app, remotely lock the vehicle for that dissemination. Again, I don't know why this has been such a problem. This little situation here, this little story was interesting in a lot of ways, showing the corruption, but showing that there is a pathway, even in the corruption, that could be resorted to that would solve, I think, a lot of what we see here. And if a bully had a complaint and they wanted to make it real, they would take it to court. And then everyone has the fair rules that you're supposed to understand, and I think in a way that would kind of force everybody to have to understand what these rules are, and they would start to see how bad the judiciary is, and then we'd be focusing on how bad justice it doesn't exist. Or not. Not all the judges are bad. Just most of them. Twitter user gets 15 months in jail for fake tweet. So now we start hearing on the side where the so-called journalism is being attacked because it's not right. Well, at least one got a court order, however valid that is. I don't know. It's presumed to be valid. I don't know what else to say about that. That's the way the law works. The court orders have to be given the force and effect of what they do until you throw them out for being improper. In Brazil, that's gone on. A Twitter user gets 15 months in jail. This was the court coming after somebody for a different reason. The man published a video alleging the Moroccan sexually assault, Moroccan sexually assaulted a woman. A Spanish Twitter user had become the first person in the country jailed for publishing fake news, as they called it here, after he claimed the man seen on a video assaulting a woman was a Moroccan rapist. He has also been fined and ordered to, quote, take a course of equality and human rights, close quote. The defendant, who worked in law enforcement, took a plea deal and accepted a 15-month prison sentence. El Mundo reported on Tuesday the Barcelona High Court will now decide whether to suspend the sentence of the send the man to prison. Additionally, there's a fine to be paid, and he's banned from creating, quote, profiles on the internet to defame. Okay? So there's a cause here and a warrant for why they're going to keep this guy, who happened to be in law enforcement, doing this, and ordered that to, quote, take a course of equality and human rights, in the words of the newspaper reporting on this. So there is that limit, and the court can get involved. In this case, criminally, for Spain's, I'm not going to go through this, whether Spain's laws are right or wrong. I'll let them have their laws for the sake of this. I also know they're under different standards in Europe, the EU, I suppose. Pretty tyrannical in a way at some level. However, just to show you, courts can get involved. They can issue judgment, and then we can respond to them. That the forums, the vehicles to disseminate information, don't have to get involved until there's a judicial order to get involved. Otherwise, it's just an open fray of free speech. Come what may, come what will. And if you don't really like it and someone does go beyond, yeah, it's a pain. You get to go remedy that. And until that's done, the due process that we all should expect, nobody has the right to be shut down. Unless it's clearly obvious, like we would say in the clearly obvious things, like, let's say, spreading child porn. Whatever all the other ones are. But the press against free speech is ongoing, ongoing, and it's in the mind of the people. And it's in the courts, and it's pressed to do so. We did see two people get taken down by the courts, but, okay, given the judicial judgment, then the social platforms step in to say, okay, well, we now see what you did was wrong. We didn't make that decision up front. Our algorithm, our AI, our culturally canceled employees didn't make that decision. They had nothing to say in it, actually. Sandy Hook families seek $2.75 trillion in damages from Alex Jones. It is an evidence that the censorship and silence and the extension beyond all reason is in the people, the witnesses, your juries. If you think that I'm talking, we need to go to court to solve our things, I'm saying, no, the social media should wait for the court to have something to hand them as a judgment to get rid of an account before they act, and they don't have to be involved in it. This one is saying, you make some statements, and someone wants to be hurt by it, and I don't necessarily say people didn't get hurt by this, or even by their feelings being hurt. But for $2.75 trillion damages, and the court comes in and actually awards some of this in the billions? This is trillions? When did it stop making sense? I don't even understand how a court can accept this. But they're attempting to send a message. And in case, Alex Jones got the message sent. In fact, I understand, and I don't look too close. I think he's seeking now bankruptcy. Sandy Hook families asked a Connecticut judge to order Alex Jones to pay $2.75 trillion in damages in addition to the almost $1 billion a jury awarded for defamation, claiming only the highest possible punitive damages will stop the InfoWars horse from continuing to harm them. Now, I don't want to get all of the details. It's beyond ludicrous here. And the court accepted. Didn't turn it down to begin with. $1 trillion, $2.75 trillion in damages. Now, I don't want to sound too heartless, but insurance companies only give you $5,000, $10,000, and $7,000, and $15,000 for your body parts. When you total all that up, the loss of a body doesn't amount to very much. Your pain and suffering, they could really care less about it. It's in the heartstrings of your jury. That's the danger in this country right now. A jury thought this was bad enough that we're going to go and accept. That someone thought they could actually send out to a judge and that the jury may accept trillions of dollars in damages is a serious threat about us as people. This is where the court's going. And I just can't help but not divorce this thing from when fraud became money monetized, it somehow triggered this in people. This guy had the right to say whatever he wanted. I don't know how 15 families can amass trillions in damages when you and I would only get hundreds for losing body parts in this commercial scene that we exist in. I don't even know where to begin. How do we base reality here? If this is what a court will allow, even here, without any constraint whatsoever, I'm not sure what we can expect in the future. It just tells me you really have to be careful on what you think you're going to be doing. And this is what they wanted done. You really have to be careful at what you're thinking and saying. Until this gets worked back out. I don't have the words to even describe it. You probably have your words better than me. $2.75 trillion is like money out of mind. I don't even understand where you think you can even come close to that. Are we already in Zimbabwe? And don't know it? U.S. federal judge has sanctioned Trump attorneys for making abusive allegations against his defendant in their lawsuit related to the Steele dossier in the court filing revealed. And so here we have the other side of speech, and you get into court. Kind of interesting to me. This is where you put your signature down on the line. There's a rule, I think it's rule 11. Correct me if I'm wrong. Rule 11 that says you can, when you sign the document that you put in a court, it's to say you are not doing something for delay or vexatious or harassment or fraud or all that stuff. In this case, they got caught for being frivolous, one of those sanctionable things. And every claim that was said was frivolous, was barred by settled, well-established existing law. These are political grievances masquerading as legal claims. This cannot be attributed to incompetent lawyering. It was a deliberate use of the judicial system to pursue a political agenda, close quote. U.S. Judge Donald Middlebrooks wrote in a filing on Tuesday. So, our speech can be constrained. But we have the words that say what the borderlines are. What are the guardrails? In a court case, if you don't do those things under Rule 11. And there's other things you've got to look carefully. But when you sign your name, it's presumed you're not doing any of this. So we don't have to go through what used to be the Patriot saying, oh, I don't do this for this, for this, for this, for this. You can still say it, but you don't have to if you know to rely on the rule, you know, or they challenge it, like they did in a court case that we helped. And we were they specifically challenged that the presentation of the review for the review, the motion for review for the against the appellate court, the government said that the motion for that, the petition for that was frivolous. The court came specifically back and had to answer that. And said, no, that petition for review to the Supreme Court was not frivolous. So these are very serious things. What happened to President Trump's attorneys didn't happen to people that I work with. And this is the thing you have to watch about the guardrails. Where are you at? What are you speaking to? And so where most people may, you know, the MAGA, or MAGAGA now, I understand, I can't remember now what they call that, MAGAGA, make America great again, whatever, GAGA, MAGAGA now. Is now the new 2024 statement, I suppose. I don't remember what it was. Might be protective of Trump in the courts, but this judge said existing law, well-established existing law, precludes what you've done. So your allegations in this are frivolous, is a big statement. And so we do have speech that goes too far, but they're usually written down, and that's what I'm getting at. Those speeches are written down, and until a judge declares that, we don't know that it actually was forbidden, if you will. So another evidence of our speech, it has to be proper for the forum, and it has a basis, and we should be able to understand that, and as long as we objectively look at that basis and we're not breaching that, there's no one to be able to have us say, however insulted they might be, however embracing they might be. It's not truly a violation. And yet we see where the guardrails are. And if you don't understand this Rule 11, it's not to be frivolous and vexatious, this and that, and pay attention to that, you can be hit by it. And if you know what you're looking at, then like we've done in the past here, just recently, we were challenged for being frivolous. The court came back and said this was a non-frivolous petition for review, petition to review. So understand what you're walking into here. Understand what your guardrails are. They are there. Don't make them up. Or you'll be looking, and I don't know how they did this, but to me it has to be corruption of the court. I saw some of the things going on in the court case with Alex Jones. Totally looked like a setup to me. But again, there's nothing I can do there. It's what happened. He's subject to that. I don't trust the courts. I didn't trust how the judge was handling that. I'm dubious of all of this anymore. Some people may have been damaged to some extent. I don't want to take that away from them. But to this amount is beyond ludicrous. This opens up the liability to everybody that speaks. If you understand what's being said in the prior tabs relative to court cases that are coming on, who gets to speak and who doesn't? Who has to be controlled? Who gets listened to? How they frame it against you? And does that prevail? Just get over to that Steele document. It was found. What was that? I'll just read quickly just to get us oriented. The Steele dossier, as known as the Trump-Russia dossier, is a controversial political opposition research report written in June-December 2016 containing allegations of misconduct, conspiracy, and cooperation between Donald Trump's presidential campaign in the government of Russia prior to and during the 2016 campaign. 5 years later, it was described by the mainstream media as largely discredited, deeply flawed, and largely unverified. Some aspects of the dossier have been corroborated, namely that Vladimir Putin favored Trump over Hillary, and that many Trump campaign officials and associates had numerous secretive contacts with U.S. Russian officials and spies, except that the dossier was not rightfully true. As they say, it dealt this whole thing that Trump was in court over referencing all this relative to this document gets us back over to Russia, what's going on in Russia, Ukraine, all this other thing, all the players within this fiasco that's been going on. Where, and I don't understand this. If you have such a clear-cut thing in the court, why did you bring a frivolous claim? Was Trump's problem all along, even after the election? Remember, I told you Trump was probably the only one that had standing in the election. What'd they bring? Bunch of nonsense. And when I saw that, or they didn't bring anything, I realized it was the jig was up. We'd all, anybody who thought that there was elections in that and that there was any honor in that was taken. You're duped. And we haven't seen anything come out of that at all, even though behind the scenes, these documents, these reports, these researches are all made with a conflict of interest, all made by players involved in advancing the other party's agenda. What's problematic for Trump, give him some credit, he made these comments, and it's taken all this time before new evidence shows up, before they are shown to be some of which are true, but not the way they were presented in some part. And this is where I say learn that when you get new evidence, you can reopen a case. And I haven't heard that either. That's the other thing that's interesting. With this new evidence, it exposes Trump was right, if you will, in some regard. And then relative, pertinent, and material, and relevant to a particular point, maybe Jordan Page, or Page, whatever that guy's name was, that can reopen things. You'd move back in and reopen it. I'm not hearing that. And so now it's a big question. What the heck is really going on? What I don't know, though, is answered when you start moving along and you see what people do indeed. I don't have to worry about, again, their deeds cause a question, but Libra Code says they don't have to tell you what's going on. They can even lie to you. They can lie to you and do something else, and you should be focusing on what they're doing, not what they're saying. Then you know them by what they do. And so when I saw this, again, bringing this over through this fiasco through Russia and Trump and knowing that the Democrats are underneath, we're now seeing this big convoluted thing going through Ukraine, and everyone's trying to cover this thing up as best they can. You don't want to miss the point of what's going on, really, just to prove out everyone is compromised. And you better find your place around that. When if you think these folks that are compromised are going to do us any as a people and looking for a better way, a better prospect, and a better future, if you think these people are here to help us, boy, I don't know what to say more. You're missing a whole lot. They're telling us exactly what's going on. When you have attorneys doing frivolous things before a judge, when you see the truth behind the thing would expose other truths that aren't frivolous, and they're not being used, that should inform you on what's happening and maybe where you need to go. This, because again, I was dearly disappointed. The red wave, like I told you, I hope y'all who got on that red wave didn't take a whole lot of time to wax your surfboard. As you saw what happened, swapping places, nothing's going to happen. The people that are representing us now in the Congress to do the people's will, not talking about the right stuff. There's not going to be resolution. But moving back into Russia, we're going to go back across into Europe. Zelensky cracks down on Ukraine's biggest church. Came back in the notice here, as I pointed out a few weeks ago. All of a sudden, something focused me in on this. We better make some comments to it. Because this is a deeper deal. It's not Zelensky, Lyarinsky. It's none of this guy. It's what's underneath this. It's what's the spirit driving this entire thing. Zelensky cracks down on Ukraine's biggest church. More news about this. Kyiv's domestic security agency has launched a series of raids on Orthodox church sites. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has announced a new measure to ban religious institutions deemed to have links with Russia. He said the move is intended to safeguard the nation's spiritual independence amid Kyiv's conflict with Moscow. I'll end there. This is the front that they put on, and this has a deeper meaning going on, and the schism that's happened, and what they're actually saying, as we understand, all this is driven, a story, a narrative, to vilify anyone that they could connect with Russia, to make that the story, so you wouldn't see the story, the actual thing going on underneath. It's all is touching the churches there as well, as I pointed out, and now I know why. I didn't know before what happened in the schism, but I do know, I think I do understand now, this is now becoming a really big issue. And I understand a priest just went to jail for 12 years. He's said to have been doing some sort of espionage through the church. And so this is another attack on the people that are the faithful, which are a great number there, to undermine what they say is a spiritual independence. It's going to be independent from being spiritual. They're cutting that out of the people there and making it a crime. And they're going after their leaders, if you will, through the church, which is another, the schism is a very interesting problem, which leads us all the way back to the, as I pointed out to you, to the global agenda. It's hard to believe until you watch it. Until you watch how they connect it up, how this all works, what their deeds are. What we hear them saying, and then we see them doing something, and then we don't understand, and then all of a sudden someone comes and explains it, but we don't understand that as well. Zio Linsky talked about this before. We now have confirmation. There might be a bigger connection if you didn't understand it before, where the ADL issues a statement declaring Ukraine's Azov battalion no longer far right. Now, how is the Anti-Defamation League able to come out and say the Azov battalion, which is completely far right, as it has been, and demonstrably so, and by their own deeds, is not? Shows you there's a PR campaign going on. As we heard, they were trying to have the Azov battalion distance themselves. So the United States doesn't look like it's supporting the Nazis, if you will, even as translated after Hitler. I could not have believed what I'm reading here. And to read the Gray Zone's report, and I think this is written by a Jewish kid as well, so he's dismayed about what ADL's doing, writes a report on their website saying, hey, I see some problems here. And they come back, and this guy, for the representative for the Anti-Defamation League, tries to ameliorate the problem where the Anti-Defamation League is saying, well, no, this is not a Nazi organization. A November 9th email from the Anti-Defamation League to the Gray Zone prohibited a twisted defense of Ukraine's Azov battalion. Despite its self-proclaimed anti-hate mission, the ADL insists in the email it does not consider Azov as a far-right group as it once was. They tried to distance the leaders of the Azov battalion from moving to a different organization. This writer, the author here for the Gray Zone, actually explains how that's just not happening. And so we see the ADL, any of us who look in can kind of see this, but if you thought that this was supposed to be free speech and hateless speech, no, this is another agent. This is a PR agent. And it's kind of outed in this story. They have free speech to decide whatever they want, but you don't. And this is a thing that's very serious about what the discussion I'm saying about journalism and who decides it. And the place, the forums that take the responsibility to make that decision when there should be a different decision, a different course before they can make a decision. Now, we better start understanding how this starts to work, otherwise they'll take it all away from us. It's just being taken now. And there's not really a lot of pushback. No, we just accept the technology handed to us, which is hackable and traceable and now honkable, because they can get us to go. But fascinating observation here, where the Anti-Defamation League justifies the existence of a group known, I don't know about the far right, but they were deemed to be promoters of Nazi beliefs. Again, Nazism is a National Socialist condition, and the ADL supports that. Certainly not the American condition, then, don't you see? And the United States government supports the ADL. In fact, they're given a special place to censor people. Like, why you can't take views Jewish, and why we want to make sure, maybe even more specifically and maybe more correctly, to say Zionism. That's the political side, where Jewish people may have a connotation of a religion behind them. This, there's spiritual integrity going on here with that. And I know there's a lot of people that would just go, have just choked all over their top ramen soup while I said that, because they're so vehement that the people that are identified as Jews can't be helpful, can't be people, can't be like this, are reasonable. Again, you're innocent until shown different, or you show yourself different. I tend to want to continue to go down that path. That ADL supporting Azov? Wow, look at the PR campaign here. And we heard that coming a long time ago. I mentioned a little bit about it with relative to them the Azov battalion needed to slip from this identity because the United States was getting hit for why would you represent Nazism here and then be violent of it at home for first round? But moving on, this lie, Lyarinsky, this thing that's been set up, the thing underneath what Trump did frivolously, his attorneys did frivolously, what was being hidden underneath this with the dossier and the Russian and why that they're trying to vilify Russia on top of it all, weapons sent to Ukraine beginning to filter to Africa, Nigerian president said. Remember now, this is the same people who just are trying to coerce their population monetarily by constraining them out of the cash into new identifiable cash and then into a digital world. As smuggled arms come from Ukraine and begin to appear in more and more countries, leaders who want to stem the flow are beginning to realize that they'll have to take a collective approach. Seems like everything goes socialism, socialistic, collective approach. Weapons shipped from Western countries to Ukraine are beginning to filter to the Chad region. Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari warned this week. Okay, fine. So all these weapons that, what was this senator, why was Apple in China such unconscionable when this is going on? Where are more people not stepping up to start? Oh, we got to wait till January. Do you think so, folks? I mean, really? Okay. You think it's going to happen too? Well, maybe a little bit, but it's not going to stop the underlying problem. No, ultimately, if this was like cover on the election to keep the control, they got their control. It just flip-flopped, and everyone's going to have a different say and the same say. Same parties are all involved. The weapons are not going, again, this is all weapons laundering. And we now have an objective basis, even from someone who wants to coerce his own population, saying, hey, these weapons are coming here. We can't have this. It's going to take away my game. U.S. troops are combat ready on the Russian border. Lithuanian commander says American forces are now ready to fight immediately, the NATO member's top general says. I don't even know what more to say on this. This is set up. They were sending these so-called trainers over there. They're on a footing to be able to battle. I'm not feeling that this is a threatening thing. This just creates the proof that the United States is more involved than they wanted to admit to, and the weapon laundering that's going on was more than they wanted certainly to admit to, and why maybe we're not seeing such a response from there and the use of these weapons, because they're not there. This is all, everything you're looking at anymore is a way to launder something, somehow create influence, gun running, power wielding, drug running likely. Going back to the Zionsky, the Zionist ADL support, why was it an anomaly that early on that Israel was supporting the Azov battalion when we are told they killed the Jews? This whole thing stopped making sense a long time ago. So it's not what you're looking at. Again, why... I wonder, did Trump's attorneys do that on purpose? Why'd you do that? When all this is, that's covering all this other stuff going through here. U.S. troops are ready for combat, as Russia says, now says U.S. and NATO directly participating in Ukraine war. Like, we kind of didn't know that before. But here's the confirmation of the players. I've said the economic attack by sanctions by the United States was a declaration of war against Russia. You didn't need to see troops on the ground. Everybody else said it was a proxy war. And they continue to say it's a proxy war. Okay, more proof. Troops on the ground, troops going in, teaching, right? All this stuff. All the Russian stories and the collusion and the election cover was all lies. This is still going on. Russia finally comes up and says, hey, there's direct participation here. And if there isn't, we're thinking that there is, and that's not going to go real well. They're not afraid of our troops sitting on the border. But, you know, governments just think that their soldiers are fodder anyway. We see the Ukrainian soldiers being made fodder. Why? Because that's not important. It's a sideshow. As Kim.com would say, he's one of those that purports it's a proxy war. He says it's a sideshow. I said, you saying a sideshow proves it's not relevant to anything. It's not a proxy war. It's a direct war. It's a sideshow, though, for all this other stuff going on. So I'm not much making hay over it. I'm saying there's a diversion going on. There's a trick going on. And we need to learn how to see all that. Some of us see it. I'm not saying anything, something that does, I'm not unique in this as well. What I'm suggesting is once we see this and we turn it back on our side, we finally see this lie, and we turn it back to our side, how are we going to resolve that for us here when they're actually doing what they're doing there to us? Russia now says U.S. and NATO directly participating. Okay, like we didn't know that, but now Russia's saying it. U.S. secretly modified HIMARS sent to Ukraine. What's the extent of that involvement? It was very interesting in this story. The artillery systems were allegedly altered so they couldn't fire long-range missiles into Russia. The United States knows it shouldn't be there. They know they can't trust the Zelenskys, the ADL promotion that's coming from Israel, likely. You can't understand different. The influence that sits there. What's really might be going on. And then the church on top of it. Really interesting interactions going on. The HIMARS rocket launchers Ukraine received from Washington have been secretly modified to make them inoperable for longer range missiles. So the United States knows that the Zelenskys can't be trusted, and so they've limited the extent that the HIMARS can operate. I think that's pretty smart. That means that they're premeditated too, folks. They're involved. This is a proxy war within Ukraine. They didn't want an attack outside. And then what do we hear? Nothing stops these people. Blasts deep inside of Russia hand Putin a fresh problem with no obvious answer. Written from the West perspective, I just offer this a story. The Ukraine army sent in drones and attacked an airfield 300 miles inside the border. And then Germany came up and said, we agree that the Ukraine's not limited to fight, to limit its battle inside the border. I suppose that would be right if it wasn't that Ukraine was created not as a sovereign, but as this vassal state between two powers to be an interim neutral spot. Moscow's accusation that Ukraine drones struck two air bases deep inside Russia has once again raised the febrile a question of escalation 9 months into the war. Now, this is a drumbeat from the West who want to raise the escalation. Putin is saying, yeah, we have the weapons, the nuclear weapons. We're not going there. Not first strike. It is a deterrent. So keep that up. But you are going to have, again, keep pushing the bear, folks. You just don't, they keep poking this thing. And if you notice, Russia only escalates as they can. And at some point, I'm not sure where that is, Russia decides to wipe the place clean. So let's just be observant maybe for that. U.S. and NATO will address the problem of China. As you see, Russia and China getting together because of this. They attack Russia with drones to attack their air bases, like they went after the bridge in Crimea, and they don't expect that there's going to be a retaliation. Right after that, they went after the infrastructure that supported the military and the electrical power, so all those people are now have no power. In the winter now is like 17 degrees below zero over there. How are these people going to survive? You're going to watch, you necessarily would likely see an exodus. They're trying to tell the people don't. But you can almost see that coming. All caused by the West. The Russia coming back and saying, we're telling you don't do this. And they keep doing it. Can't be that they explain that Russia is, that Ukraine is anything they want to keep. That the Zelenskys, the Zionists are sitting there maybe looking for the residue. You see Poland now making, as I said, it looks like they were coming down to re-grab their other territory on the West. This is a Western thing. And it looks like your sons and daughters may be fodder as the politics in the country of the United States work to cover all this stuff. We then see the expansion of the aggression of the United States. I don't understand where we got this as a country, but the United States says NATO will address the problem with China, but other members not too eager to go along. Nations are starting to see the problem, finally. And I have to say thank you to Russia. We're kind of like breaking the spell. I don't necessarily support Russia. I don't dislike them. They're a country. They violate people like United States violate, like UK violates people. The people are somewhat subject to all this nonsense as well. But the United States is going around and making enemies around the world, and then people are not having it. I'm hoping is a good sign. It's making it going to have to go a little bit slower. But while they're doing that, the United States and the West is causing havoc for you. Why G7 price capping won't harm Russia, but will accelerate inflation and recession in the West. I've told you over and over, this carnival mirror, we look over in Europe, particularly the Middle East, it's a reflection back on us. What's going to happen, what happens to us, whether we see it or not. I told you the sanctions were a boomerang when it comes spitting into the wind of a hurricane. And here we are. G7 price capping won't harm Russia. What'd Russia do, I said. When you found out that what they're doing, these sanctions against them, they would be protecting themselves. They started buying gold and stuff early on, then China started doing it. Maybe the order was over. They started to protect themselves. They were telling us that they were going to set up for this so-called multipolar world, this bipolar instability, insanity in the world. That they are becoming self-reliant. That nothing you do to them based on what the needs are of people in Europe or the United States can work if that's what you need and they have to offer it. Why G7 price capping won't harm Russia? Another explanation why it's going to come back and slap us in the face as those new cap sanctions. Russia was doing what I suggested that came to my mind when I found out it was about insurance and shipping. Russia formed Shadow Fleet to bypass oil sanctions. The country has allegedly purchased and reallocated more than 100 tanker ships over the last year. If you didn't think they knew this was coming, they've been doing this for a long time preparing. Russia has assembled a shadow fleet to circumvent Western oil sanctions, the Financial Times claimed on Saturday. According to the outlet, Moscow has quietly amassed a fleet of over 100 aging tankers. They want to throw that aging in. Maybe they are, but they are some of the biggest tankers that Russia could find to amass. They're going to be shipping oil. Whether you get it, or whether that affects the price of your diesel tank, they don't care. And this was my problem when I noticed all this. You don't do an economic attack on someone and don't call it a war, because you might lose that war if you're not set up or they're protected of it. It's the same way, in a way, I tell you, watch Russia, what they do, because for you, you want to be a sovereign, be free people. Each one of you want to be free or free enough. You're going to have to understand how a real sovereign protects itself. They can give us a clue on how you're supposed to do that for yourself. Whether or not we can is a whole other program. Russia forms their shadow fleet. Just like I looked at the problem and I said, yeah, they're going to have to do that. And there they were doing it. They've been doing it. The United States has no intelligence and no foresight on how to even begin to do the war they started. Because it wasn't about Russia either, in a way. Yeah, they want to dismantle Russia and take it all down. The government of the United States is just looking to oppress people. Somehow the people of the United States are going to have to understand that and figure out, whether you start local or not, how we're going to get that focused as something unconscionable more than what Apple's doing with China. And that our power would be stop buying Apple products. No, we can't make it that simple. No, we let COVID swindle happen to us. And that's not unconscionable. And this thing about this exposure that we had in this country and the disinformation that they called rallied against to say is misinformation. Again, credit to Elon Musk for putting it out there, but it's I tell you, there's another reason. Possibly, it looks like to me that this is all working. How Twitter algorithms paved the way for election interference was this. Remember that all this and the dossier, the Steele, all that seems to be integrated. It wasn't just Russia who was integrating all of this to create that noise around the election, which is now exposing the entirety of a corruption in the election system, as I've explained my experience of it. Why I have ceased to believe in it, ceased to participate, and that doesn't mean that I don't demand whomever wants to believe in that and goes to an office, they don't have a duty. And I expect that to be done. And you can too. And until more of us is doing that, I think we're going to watch this thing escape. But we see how the PR campaigns work. Twitter was involved. We understood this. We understood most of the forums are tied in. This is the problem about integrating, about giving them the power to censor, or the question is whether or not they don't need to be compelled to be the vehicle and not the poster, and whether or not that is all, you see the, like Hyundai is internally hackable, and it's across the board, nobody escapes. Twitter owner Elon Musk accused the platform former leadership of interfering with elections. This is, for those of you that are involved in this and can focus on it, I can't. This is a very important. There's leads coming through here. I haven't analyzed this. This kind of harkens back to why didn't Trump argue this stuff instead? Maybe he didn't have it, but now he can. Why isn't he? Maybe they are. Maybe it's happening too fast as I find this broadcast. I can't even keep up with the information. Things are coming to fill in the blanks so quickly, I can't even bring it. By the minute, it seems. It's overwhelming to keep up. So I'm going to offer these next links for you to. I want to have at least my blogcaster show. This was a thing, not that I can handle, but some of you might be able to want to take leads from. Matt Taibbi was given the ability to post these Twitter files, they call them, the first dump, they called it. And there's some things that are explained to it in us. There are plenty of discussions now. This is a big deal about for those of you that are involved in this and the election interference. It's a bigger deal than even what you explained behind the censorship situation. The agencies involved, again, the government not doing a protectable thing for you. They're actually involved already. They should never be close. It's not about the FBI get involved. It was that they shouldn't even been in the picture at all. And they are. Again, this is where are you going to go with the first argument? You're going to try and get one guy in the FBI, or are you going to look at the whole thing? Should have been absolutely forbidden to be even appearance of impropriety and appearance of connection. And we go on and continue with these quick little links that you'll get. I'll just touch them so you hear the subject matter. Released the Twitter files show election interference, Reckonwald to RT. The Democratic Party's kept tight grip on social network, a former New York professor says. On and on. We can go through this. I won't. You just need to know if you're interested in elections and you're interested in the overthrow and you think that that's a thing in the future, and in some regard I see that there's a value to it. It is a process of getting things forward, even if we're an insane people, then we need crews of people that are working more closely to the function of this than the sensation of it. Musk's Twitter files, what have we learned from Hunter Biden laptop story? So we get it back to Ukraine. This is not going to go away. This is a completely integrated condition of varied depths and layers that were to keep our attention. Anybody, plethora of things to be interested in, none of which was the point. And why I want to just name this so we can look and we can see how do these professionals go about taking public perception. And what have they done in setting up this Internet of Things, this battlefield Internet of Things, and that they are successful, but that there's a remnant of the journalists that it can see. We do have our minds, and we do have our critical thought, and we can bring it together, and it just takes people speaking up. In this case, an African-American of all people, literally the continent of Africa, an American, Elon Musk, was the one to out this, to his credit. What he's doing that for? Again, I like the guy. His projects are really cool, but I don't know if I trust him. And it's going to take a little while. I don't know if he can gain that trust either. I'm getting to a point where I don't know that I can trust much of anything I see. But Musk's Twitter files, what have we learned from the Hunter Biden, even exposes, brings this whole thing out as well. The dump exposes Biden's campaign causing censorship within Twitter. We're just looking at the inside of one organization and what they were doing. We just should take note. I wouldn't get lost. Well, see, I don't know that anything's going to come of this. What may come up of this is of a private nature, like what Elon Musk wants to get to gain people's trust because he brings it forward, to his credit as well. But where are we going to go? Are we going to go back to Hyundai with him? Were we Neuralink connected up to the internet at increasing rates and diminished returns? His privatization of what censorship is? His largesse of what free speech is? As I've explained, he doesn't really go from the law until he's directed, and then he has to right now because he's made himself apparent to everybody that he needs to follow an objective basis. When that goes away, does he return? Does he go back to this? I don't know. I'm not trusting it. The fallout from these Twitters, this Twitter dump, is impressive. Again, to, not necessarily to my interest, but to some of you, maybe so much, a lot. So I don't want to disregard it. I just don't have much thing to talk about it. Liberal journalists circle wagons as Twitter files expose decades of biggest media scandal. Digital civil war. Twitter and Facebook ban anti-Biden bombshells, greenlight anti-Trump hoaxers. Titles on these stories, calling them a civil war, inciting. I didn't know how this could be not inciting. They call it digital civil war. No, that becomes a mental thing in people. That's the programming. This is the public perception management. It's still going on in the face of this. So be careful who's actually playing these things off. Again, apparent denials, but they actually have an effect on people. Watch what happened through Covey swindle and how people responded. It went insane. That's who's listening to this. And you can't deal with that. Twittergate, neat name now. Key takeaways from exposed censorship of Hunter Biden laptop scoop, which extends all through elections to Russia, to Ukraine, to the FTX. All of this is underpinned by all of this stuff that Elon Musk has exposed for us. Through the inner workings of corporations whose records are typically not available to us. Musk, Twittergate, and Hunter Biden. Why FBI had to have a ton to answer for? They shouldn't have anything to answer for. And yet, you look closely, they didn't have anything directly they did. The plausible disconnection. This is the mark of experts doing their work. Premier people doing what they need to do to keep their operation running. Second wave now, we go to the second wave of Twitter docs reveal blacklists and shadow bans. I don't know about all that. We understood that was happening. That's being released a bit. I don't know. Behind the woodshed, I still don't get much action, and so I don't know. If I'm not shadow banned, then no one is interested in the truth and the procedures and the realities I'm talking about. They have no clue if I'm not shadow banned. So I don't know what more to say. It's being laid before us. We don't have much more to really, I don't know what more to say than we hear. Here it is. What part are you going to take on to help yourself understand what's coming at us? And let's see if we can deaden that and then stop it and then turn it back to something that's more acceptable to everybody. Hope something I said is inspiring. Hope it's not maybe overwhelming you to just pick something, folks, to defend yourself on. Anticipate that future. Don't be standing flat-footed as the train comes down the tracks you're standing on. Don't be standing on those tracks. And I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs or Nature Road.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Well, that's what... Oh. opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.